Lord Jesus, come, we pray. And help us see you more clearly as we think about this story that the children and us were hearing about earlier. Lord, we pray, help us learn to grow in love like your love. That we might be led in love to those around us. And so, Lord, we need you. I need you. Come and help us, we pray. Lord, in your mighty name, amen. Amen. Do take your seats, everyone. Thank you, band, so much for what you've been sharing with us. I wonder this morning, do you know the secret to being blessed? Do you know, or want to know maybe, how to experience God's favor and grace upon your life? Well, the story that we had in the video earlier, the story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, ends with this verse. It's a story that's found in John 13, and we're going to look at it as we go through this short sort of talk together. But this is how the passage ends in John 13, verse 17, and it says this. Now that you know these things that Jesus said and did for them, you will be blessed if you do them. The blessed way is the way that he models for us in this passage. If you like, the path of blessing is the path of serving. And so I really just want to honor so many who've been serving, the whole team, many volunteers who've been serving as part of the Holiday Club this week. Many of them are out the back, and I'll be honoring them later in the lunch that we have as well. But I also want to say, if you're here as a parent or carer of one of the kids that's been involved in the Holiday Club, one of the things I know as a parent myself is that there are so many ways which parents are serving their kids all the way through the days and the weeks in often hidden ways. And I also want to honor this church for their amazing heart to pour in to the lives of the next generation. We have a saying here as a church that is actually based on an African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child. And so as the whole church kind of comes around to help the kids grow in all kinds of ways, we want to praise God for that. And one of my longings and our longing as a church is that the kids in this church would grow up knowing that the path of serving is the path of blessing. The path of serving is the path of blessing. But I want to be really upfront with you. Serving is not easy. Serving is not easy. You know, in our country, serving is in decline. Many, many charities are struggling for volunteers. Many churches, similarly. In fact, if you look at the reasons why people kind of take on different roles or enter into public life, less and less frequently do you hear it being with the primary motivation to serve others, though that is still obviously where things like the civil service get their name. They're about serving the public good. You know, I wonder if you think about our culture, would you describe it more as a culture that's primarily about serving self or serving others? I don't know. What do you think? Serving self or serving others? I think actually we live in a culture which is a huge amount about serving self. But if we think about what kind of culture we want to live in, well, that's an easy answer. We want to live in a culture which is about serving others, except so often it then comes back to, well, what about for us? What does that look like? I don't know if recently you've been enjoying the TV series Traitors, which is recently finished. Anyone here been watching any of the Traitors, just so I know how much I need to explain? Okay, a fair few. Well, if you haven't, the Traitors is a show that's been on the BBC, and it's been about you know, a group of people in a castle, and there are a few people who are traitors. And, you know, it's been fascinating insight into our culture, really, because, spoiler alert, there has been a lot of hub about this, so you might have kind of seen it, but this recent season had a kind of quite divisive and dramatic end, if you've been watching it. I hadn't been watching it, but my daughter said, you got to watch this final thing. Everyone's talking about it, and it was quite staggering to see what kind of went on. But here's the spoiler alert. The traitor did what he had to do to win the game. The traitor did what he had to do to win the game, and that is this. He had to put himself first. He had to put himself first. And actually, I think for many of us, that's how we think life works. If we're going to win in life, we have to put ourselves first. But Jesus says something radically different. He says, actually, the path to winning at life, the path to blessing, is the way of putting others first. In fact, Jesus is having this meal, and the context, if we look back at John 13, verse 1, is it's at a Passover meal. It says it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Or some translation said he now showed them the full extent of his love. And it's interesting because verse 2 goes on and says, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. There is a traitor in their midst at this meal. And really, Jesus and Peter are like kind of extreme versions of what it looks like to either live a life that serves others or a life that serves self. And what Jesus does, staggeringly, is challenge what is in all of our hearts, that tendency towards serving of self. And he then does these amazing things in this version. To Judas, to Peter, who they've been thinking about in this holiday club this week, the kids. And this is what we go on and read in John 13. It says this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things in his power. This is Jesus, the one who has all power. And he knew that he'd come from God and was returning to God. He knew the amazing security he had in his kind of past and future in God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So the first thing I want us to see here, if we can imagine as we're in this series on what does it look like to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to be his followers, is that Jesus comes to us even here this morning and Jesus wants to serve us. And so my first point this morning is let Jesus serve us. You know, it's sometimes hard to let others serve us. It kind of takes humility to serve, but it also takes humility to allow someone to serve us, particularly in our culture, which often makes an idol out of self-sufficiency. You know, I'm all right, thank you very much. But Jesus gets up. He moves towards the disciples. It might have been a hugely kind of embarrassing moment for them, because even the slaves in Jewish society, Jewish slaves, they weren't allowed to, it was considered too low even for them to wash, you know, someone's feet. And so they were being reclining around this table, and Jesus, clearly the most important there person in the room, he comes and he stoops down and he starts washing their feet. Why? Well, verse 1 made it clear. This is Jesus being motivated by love. And he's doing this shocking thing on the very night before he's going to do an even greater shocking thing. This is the Passover. And the Passover is all about one who gave their life for the sake of others. A lamb was slain so that others could be spared. And Jesus is the one who now in this moment is demonstrating his love to his disciples. In another part of the Gospels, it puts it like this. Jesus, speaking of himself, says, even the Son of Man, that's his word for himself, even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the one who came from heaven, the Prince of heaven, wants to serve you and I this morning. He's moving towards us in love. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you've done. He knows, as it were, the path you've been traveling. As we were just singing a moment ago in that Holiday Club song, God's love is big. It is bigger than you and I can imagine. It's big enough to overcome the evil and betrayal and greed that is in so many times in our hearts. You know, it can be embarrassing and uncomfortable when someone wants to serve you and particularly come and deal with the kind of messy, dirty parts of our lives. I don't know if you've ever had someone come and try and help sort out your kitchen and they open up a cupboard and say, "Oh, just clear out in here." And you're like, no, don't look in there. And our hearts are even more so like that. You know, Peter's response when Jesus comes to wash his feet, do you remember it? Peter, this one that they've been seeing in the story through this week, all kinds of ways he's reacted to Jesus. And yet here in this moment, Jesus stoops at his feet to wash his feet. And Peter says, "No, Lord, no, look." He came to Peter and said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me." And I want to just focus on these two little sayings of Jesus here, because they show us some wonderfully helpful things. When Jesus sometimes approaches us and we're a bit kind of confused about what he's doing and the way he's working. And I have to be honest, I found this verse here, verse 7 of John 13, so often helped me, because often I'm confused by what Jesus is doing. Why are you doing that, Lord? Why are you allowing that in my life? Why are you allowing that in their life? And it's like Jesus says, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." It is okay to be confused, he says to his disciples. Trust me. But also, Peter is like, he feels like this is just awkward. This is the wrong way around. This is, you know, there's all kinds of things maybe going on in his head. And so he's still saying no. But Jesus says in verse 8 here, something that completely transforms his thinking. He says this, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." And here we see that this washing is more than just the clearing of the feet. This is pointing to a bigger need about how we, as very fallen and broken individuals who make a mess of our lives time and again, can walk with a perfect God through life, as that's been the theme of this series we're in, about walking with God. You see, you might be here and thinking, "Well, you know, my feet aren't that dirty today. You know, I've got my bowl and I got my my towel, and I was wondering, you know, are there some dirty feet that could be washed? Could even get you to put up your hand. Maybe I come down. Go. Do you want to line up? Gets a bit awkward, doesn't it? And we don't even have smelly feet, most of us, because we've maybe had a shower. Should we say, "Oh, who's got smelly feet and wants to come down?" Gets a bit awkward, doesn't it? Jesus is moving towards the parts of our lives that are messy and dirty. He wants to help us. Will we let him? You know, the thing is, actually, the dirtiest part of our lives is probably not our feet or our hands or our faces. Even Dan's after the mess of the pie. You know where often our most dirty place is our heart. Just like the disciples, as they walked along the dusty roads, would have picked up loads of dirt, as we walk through our world, all kinds of things. The culture in our world, the me-first culture, stains our hearts. And Jesus says today he wants to come and minister to clean our hearts. Will you let him? Will you let him do that transforming work? Will you let Jesus serve you like the kids have been hearing about, the love of God for them? But you know what's amazing about this Jesus is that as he serves us, as he transforms our hearts, we see this. We see that he actually then goes on and says, and if we can jump to point 2 there, Linnea, Jesus says this. We'll keep going through this here. He says, "Look, as you've served me, as you let me serve you, now you join me in serving others." Jesus cleanses us so that we can then be those that join him in his work. It's like Jesus says, look, we are served by him so that we can serve like him. So let us together then serve like Jesus. And it's important that we get this the right way around. You know, it's important that we understand that it's not that God needs our help primarily. We need his help. And it's amazing that Jesus does that for them together in a kind of meal setting, because it's not just Peter who needs God's cleansing. It's not just Judas. It's them all. It's us all here today. We all need his help. And as he helps us, then we join him in helping others. We need to get it in the right order. We're not served by good works, but we're saved for them. In fact, that's the Holiday Club verse that they've been learning together in Ephesians 2, verse 10. You know, we got it up here on the screen as well, that we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. We, together, are God's masterpiece. He's created us, but he's also created us anew in Christ Jesus. There was a kind of transformation that Jesus needs to do in our hearts and lives, from being self-serving to being those who want to serve others, because he has good works prepared in advance for us to do. In fact, back in John 13, it goes on and says this. This is that. He says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place and said, do you understand now what I've done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that you, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He's spelling it out. Look, this serving that I've done is what you are to do for others. Not necessarily the going around and washing everyone's feet, but living a life that isn't about me, but is about others, a life of love. And so let's look back and just think about what Jesus does to serve others. Well, the first thing Jesus did was he got rid of those things that were going to get in the way. Back in verse 4, it says that he kind of took off his outer robe. It was going to get in the way. And for you and I, if we're to serve others, so often there needs to be a kind of a taking off or a letting go of something that's going to get in the way of service. That might be it might be we need to put down the remote control or the grocery bags or something. Or maybe if your neighbor needs help, putting down the next couple of minutes just to help them in some way. It's looking for those moments where there might be something you need to set aside to then be able to pick up what he does next. You see, he took a towel. Jesus took a towel and a basin. He picked up the tools for service. And I don't know for you this week, but what are the tools you need to serve? Maybe there's something around the house. Maybe it's picking up a bin bag and taking it out. Maybe it's doing something practical for someone else. What do you need to pick up? Maybe if you're a parent of small kids, it's a nappy you need to pick up to help. And then notice this, Jesus serves to meet a common need. So he sets aside what gets in the way. He picks up the tools for service. And then he serves to meet a common need. You know, sometimes we can serve and think, well, what's the point of doing that? It's just going to get messy again. But most of the needs in our life, most of the opportunities to serve are for things that need doing. You know, cooking food, it needs to be done day on, day out, day out. Many here know that. You know, the helping of people is just something that is constantly needed. If we decide we don't want to do that because it's just going to need doing again next week, then we miss most of the opportunities for service. And so whether it's serving elderly parents or relatives or members of the community, whether it's helping families and some way or other, whether it's volunteering in a charity or in the church, whether it's actually, and this is so often the key, serving those closest to us, Jesus is inviting us, whether flatmates or friends or spouses, look for what you can do for others. And there's a little wonderful phrase to unlock opportunities for service. It's simply this: how can I help you? How can I help you? Will you try and use that each day this week for someone? Maybe even many times. How can I help you? How can I help you? But you know, if we went through this talk just thinking that this is only about Jesus just doing something, encouraging us to do something small for people in some way every now and then. You know, if we just thought it was about maybe once or twice this week taking out the bin bag, we would have missed the point completely. This whole story is pointing to something far, far bigger. You know, the way we live life with Jesus, the way for this path of blessing, is not a kind of serving now and again here and there. No, it is like Jesus to do what he was going to do after he washed their feet at this meal. You see, all these things point to something far bigger. If we can go back to those points that we just had. You know, Jesus, as he took his robe off at that moment, the next time he was going to have his robe taken off him was going to be the next day. When he was stripped of his clothes to go to the cross. And he didn't, at that moment, pick up a towel and a basin. What Jesus picked up the following day was his own cross. As he walked towards the place of crucifixion, crown of thorns on his head, to meet a common need. Not your dirty feet or my dirty feet, not the meal that need preparing for tomorrow, but the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing of our heart. That common need in each one of us, the thing that most gets in the way of families, communities, churches functioning well together like they're meant to, with love and service, selfishness, greed. Me first. That's what the Bible calls sin. And Jesus comes and on the cross, he deals with that common thing in a very costly way. He lays down his life that we might have life. He knows that the path of serving is the path of blessing. The path of blessing is that looking to bless others. And he invites us then, not just to do a little bit here and there, but the whole transformation. Jesus says, if anyone's to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is the path he is calling us to live, to serve others in such a radical way that we're saying, hey, I'm not seeking to try and gain my life. I'm willing to lose it, that I might gain even something better, is what Jesus says. He is inviting us today to let him serve us so that we can serve others. To let him first come and wash our feet, our hearts, to transform us to be more and more like him. You know, I love this little quote. It's a lady called Amy Carmichael, and she said this, if love flows into your life, love will flow out. Let love flow in. If you and I let Jesus love us, serve us, deal with what we most need, he will help us then love and serve and forgive others so that we might build really strong, vibrant communities that are blessed to be a blessing to others. I've got a little prayer up here that I've just been praying this week, and I want to invite you to pray with me if you would like as we end. And it just simply says this, thank you, Jesus, for your love for me and that you are willing to serve me and clean my heart. Please forgive me and make me new. Please help me to follow you and love and serve others. So shall we just bow our head? And if you would like to pray this now with me, just echo it in your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me, for us. Thank you that you're willing to serve me and clean my heart, to serve us and clean our heart. Please forgive me and make me new. Please forgive us and make us new. Please help us to follow you and love and serve others. In your name, amen.